Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Sounds like we're all out here, but Dave.
I
Sounds like
know. Maybe three's a charm.
it.
Well, it took three times to get it on record, and I was going to kill the chimes, but I think we'll just leave them on because for some reason we're having trouble again with this conference line. This has been a challenge for the last several weeks. Almost every time there's a problem with something happening. A couple of weeks ago, we actually had an hour when the system was totally down nationwide on a Monday morning when we were training our coaches. Quite interesting. Well, it's good to be with everybody tonight. Thank you for your patience with me last week. Last week, I had the privilege of speaking with Lee Steinberg down in Houston, Texas. We were speaking to the Greater Houston Home Builders Association and Realtors Organization. And as usual, Lee wowed the group, and I had a great time speaking. That doesn't happen very often, but when it does, we thank you for your indulging us in that process. Well, tonight we're going to take on one of the most interesting of all of these thought processes. It's the area of discipline and structure. I am working on, as many of you know, a new version of the assessment. I've got a few hundred hours invested in it so far, taking all of our years of experience and updating the definitions and making them just a little bit richer, because we've got confidence now in our experience to take them even deeper. We haven't changed anything for 10 years, which is quite extraordinary that it's been that long since we've had even a desire to. This area called discipline and structure, I'm renaming. It's going to be called disciplined thinking. Disciplined thinking, thoughts about thinking. And the new manual reads, in this dimension of thought, we focus solely on concepts that exist only in our mind. Thinking about thinking. As intentional creators, we strive to be effortless thinkers, free from resistance, resentment, and rebellion. Intentional creators know how to quiet and direct their very busy minds in positive, organized, and constructive ways. These are the six characteristics that support clear, accurate, and disciplined thinking. Are your underlying thoughts balanced and supportive, or are they resistant, resentful, or even rebellious? I'd like tonight, if you pull out your assessments, this bottom left-hand side, I'm going to share with you some of the definitions. Excuse me just a moment. Still a bit of a residual cold from last week. I'm going to walk through some of the updated definitions in terms of our objectives and what some of the potential challenges will be in the most common ways in which these thought processes show up. Disciplined, the very first measurement, retains its name. The objective, in terms of disciplined, when we are disciplined, we embrace order and structure that adds value to our lives. Now, many of you have disciplined under focused. It's orange. Some of you have it red. That just means we think outside the box. We're very creative. However, even though we're creative and we don't have an intrinsic value for structure, we only follow rules that make sense. We will want to embrace order and structure that adds value to our lives. We willingly surrender our resistant, resentful, and often rebellious natures. We understand the delicate balance between creativity, thinking outside the box, and being disciplined, sticking to a schedule or regimen. Now, for the most of you, this is the challenge. Your thoughts might want you to think outside the box and question and challenge the order and structure being imposed. And should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might question and even resist order and structure that seems too controlling or inconvenient. Please note, this is an entrepreneurial characteristic. Entrepreneurs are problem solvers, not rule followers. That's important for you to make a note. Entrepreneurs are problem solvers, not rule followers. However, we'll want to find the balance between creativity and discipline. So take a look at your assessment and say, do my thought processes support me in embracing discipline and structure that will improve my life? Or am I resisting everything? Now, this would be if you've got a home-based business, for example, that you set a schedule and you stick to the schedule. If there are phone calls that you want to make, then you say, Wednesday night I'm going to be making these phone calls, and when Wednesday night comes, we actually make the phone calls. We don't say, well, I'm tired tonight, I'll do it tomorrow night, because tomorrow never comes. The next measurement we've been calling teachable for a long time. I want to use a different word, respectful. Now, quite often, this one starts to drift into resentful. This is the definition of this particular one. This is a fun one. It says, when we are respectful, we recognize the practical benefits in following rules and taking direction. We respect people in positions of authority. Now, some of you have this measurement orange, and we know when it's orange that we're going to resist authority. It says, your thoughts might want you to place too little value on following the rules and or respecting people in positions of authority. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might have difficulty taking direction from someone in a position of authority, especially if we don't respect that person's ability or contribution. We might covertly or overtly try to find ways to avoid controls that limit our options. We might even be tempted to verbalize our feelings. If your measurement's red, you probably have verbalized your feelings. Please note, this is an entrepreneurial characteristic. Entrepreneurs respect people for the value of their contribution, not for their title or position. So it's okay. That's how entrepreneurs think. They want value brought to the situation. They really don't care what your title is. I know he's a vice president, but he's stupid. I mean, that thoughts can be kind of in that space. Just be very careful that in those situations, if you've got an orange or a red and teachable, that you bite your tongue because you want to know the practical benefits of following that person in a position of authority. Otherwise, we're going to lose our jobs because people don't appreciate it. When we're being systemic, telling them what's wrong, their first inclination is to tell us what's wrong with us. So be careful with this one. The next measurement is analytical. And this one's almost always over-focused. Matter of fact, 97% of the time with entrepreneurial people. So when the objective is when we're analytical, we see challenges as opportunities. Everybody got that? We see challenges as opportunities. And we use our mind to explore and find solutions that add value. That's what those thought processes are supposed to be about. Not going into catastrophe, but looking at this challenge as an opportunity, we'll find a solution. Thinking about solutions. However, your thoughts might want you to constantly or even obsessively think about new and creative ways for solving problems or improving things. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts? I've just kind of pulled that away, so I'm not talking about you. It's if we do that, we might become attached to our ideas and need to be right or even controlling. We might even believe that our ideas are better or even the best ideas. And we might get frustrated when others don't think as deeply or thoroughly. Please note, this is an entrepreneurial characteristic. Entrepreneurs are often both effortless and obsessive thinkers. This can be a great gift, but it comes with the risks I listed above. So if it's orange or red and analytical, it's not necessarily a bad thing. So long as we're managing the need to be right, we're managing when we give an assignment to someone and they don't think as deeply as thoroughly, we don't get critical. We glean from what they say and we take it to the next level. Because not everybody thinks as effortlessly as does an entrepreneur. Critical measurement. The next measurement, methodical. This one is often what we call over-focused. There's just too much emphasis on it. The objective is when we're methodical, we clearly see the risks in new and different ideas. We appropriately challenge change that is premature or unwise. That would be balanced. Most of the time, we drift over to over-focus, which is our thoughts might encourage you to be skeptical about, closed to, or even irritated by ideas that might interfere with, threaten, or undermine your ideas. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might have difficulty recognizing the potential benefits in trying or even considering different, new, or better ideas. We might become frustrated or even angry when we think a new or different idea will make things worse. So we want to be able to see the risk. We want to protect the ideas, but we don't want to be closed to ideas. That's methodical. The next measurement, we have given a little bit different name. We called it consistent before, but it's really about being steady. Being steady. When we're steady, it says when we're steady, we effectively manage wasteful interruptions and unwanted distractions and guard against unwarranted changes in policies and procedures. We maintain schedules and keep commitments. Now, when this one starts to turn orange, the most common place it goes is here. Your thoughts might want you to tolerate, allow, or even welcome things that interrupt or interfere with rules, policies, or schedules. Should we choose to listen to these thoughts, we might become easily distracted or sidetracked. We might welcome interruptions or disruptions to avoid difficult or unpleasant scheduled tasks. We might have difficulty prioritizing tasks by importance or urgency. We might even be reluctant, unwilling, or unable to provide consistent direction, order, or structure. And I asked later, is there an imaginary sign on your door that reads, interruptions welcomed? Let's take a look at this. Why are we going through these definitions? Because these are the thought processes we bring to doing. Are we resisting structure? Are we resisting authority? Are we constantly obsessively thinking and needing to be right? Are we closed to other people's ideas? Are we allowing interruptions to get in our way? Can you see how much challenge some of these thought processes can create for us? And the last measurement, loyal, we've changed to the measurement protective. And when we're protective, we honor and enforce rules, policies, and procedures that support us in connecting with and serving others and taking passion-driven action. We understand that order and structure is fundamental and foundational to the creation of our worthy goals and dreams. Now, this one's often balanced, but I just want you to hear that. The very first measurement is disciplined. If we don't have an intrinsic value for structure, we're going to be thinking outside the box. And if we do, we may be unwilling to protect order and structure in our life or the lives of others. And the truth of the matter is this. Success. You can write this down tonight. Success requires structure. It does. Sometimes we go to a business like a home-based business to get away from the structure. Showing up at a certain time and only getting a break and then a lunch period. And then you check out and you go home. You come back to the same thing the other day. You've got a quota or a responsibility or whatever it might be. We want to get away from that. Well, the truth is this. We are going to want to be our own best boss. The freedom of entrepreneurship is not the freedom to choose whether or not we work. It's to choose when we work. We don't have to ask for permission to go to a son's soccer game or a daughter's soccer game or a school play or or parent-teacher conference. We can make that choice. We can stop what we're doing and go do that and come back and go to work again. We don't get to choose whether we work. We choose when we work. We also get to choose that when we work, we're working for us. We're building our business, our life. So the effort we're putting in and the results that we achieve, which are in direct relationship to the effort we put in, are based on our willingness to be structured. Now, most people that are entrepreneurial, and many of you on the phone, resist structure. So we want to reframe it tonight to make sure that we understand that structure is there to support us in improving our lives. It's not the focus. It's the support mechanism. Success is achieved by connecting with people and serving them, by doing the work of creation in a structured way. So the structure is there to support us in more effectively connecting and serving, in more effectively doing the work of creation. It's just a support mechanism. It's a foundational element. In corporate America today, it's just reversed. The system rules. And the people are like cogs on a wheel. They're like robots. They're things. They're like chattel. The system is all important. The structure. What a mistake. I heard on last Tuesday David Weekly speak. David is the president of David Weekly Homes, which is the largest personally owned home builder in the United States. Last year, they built $1.8 million worth of homes, built and sold. $1.8 million worth of homes. That's a lot. $1.8 billion. Billion. $1.8 billion. That's a lot. And David stood before this group, the same age, 60 years old, looks a lot like me, just a kind of a teddy bear of a guy. And he talked about the fact that it used to be all about the systems. It used to be about the rules. It was about the policies, procedures. And he had a wake-up call one day. They need to make it about the people and make sure the people are taken care of, not only financially, but in terms of being valued and understood. And he talks about how his business exploded in growth when he made that shift. Oh, I'd like to have had 1,000 CEOs in the room listening to him. Because we've got the bean counters kind of running the world right now. And the David Weeklys have caught it. And they get it. And they're reaping tremendous profits, sharing them with their employees. But reaping profits because they get the heart and soul of the people. Because when we show up and we listen to and understand, those walls of resistance come down, the cooperation and productivity flood out. This piece around systems is so foundational to everything we do. I just want you to reflect for a moment. How resistant have I been? How rebellious have I been when it comes to following some order or structure? Do I sometimes get excited and create it and then only stick to it for a day or two? How disciplined am I? Can I see the value it can bring to me, the practical benefits? Can I see that when I show up like that, I'm more effectively serving other people? I actually have times when I do this. I'm focused on them. I'm following the structure, if you will, of intrinsic validation. Structure is bringing value to my life. So take a look at these measurements tonight and just feel them differently, perhaps, than you ever have before. Because these are the hardest thought processes to step back from. We talk about metacognition, you know, where we can step back from our own thoughts and reflect on our own thinking. These are the hardest, these six, are the hardest to step back from and reflect on because they release, I'll call them ligands and neuropeptides, molecules into our body. We feel these. You know, when we have an idea and we feel really strongly, we do literally feel very strongly. It's in the cells of our body. It's not just in our mind. It's in the cells of our body we can feel it. Well, it's hard to step back from that kind of a physicality of the emotion. This is why it's so important for us to be reading scrolls and being conscious and focused on serving people. If our primary focus is how to step into their world, how to hear them, how to create a safe place, how to take down their walls of resistance, if we're staying in that space, we're reading our scroll, and we're showing up in a way. On our scroll this week, we're gonna go into scroll 6. Again, I'll be the master of my emotions. Weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. This is going to be our week of stepping back and seeing this, maybe for the first time, that when we feel really strongly about something, and we might be getting in a right-wrong battle, that we just start to laugh. A week ago, it would have been 10 days ago, I was sitting in Virginia with my youngest son. He's a strapping 6'5", 295-pound guy. He's a weightlifter. He's the director of enrollment for the Jack Welch Executive Management MBA program back there with Strayer University. We were just there to see our newest grandchild, which was really awesome, Charlie Ann. What a beautiful little girl. When he was young, and I still remember it, we were sitting in the dining room of our previous home, actually the kitchenette area, and he had curly hair, and he was a little pudgy, and he was about 5'8 or 5'9, something like that. You know, he just grew up beyond that. And he was just so stoic. When I got frustrated with him, I would watch his eyes glass over, and it was like he went to another planet. I think I shared this once a couple years ago. Just like he went to another planet. I mean, no matter what I said, I couldn't get through. He became a statue. And I remember pacing around him as if I were looking for a crack in this statue. I was trying to make a point. I wanted him to understand how I was feeling about this. And just for a moment, just a glimpse, had that moment of awareness of what I was doing. And it was funny. Now, these thought processes do not have a funny bone. Nothing's funny about it when you need to be right or you get into one of those arguments. But perspective, stepping back and looking at what I was doing, and him there with his glassed over eyes and on, in another planet just ignoring me, I wanted to spank him. He's too big to spank. Stepping back, it just became humorous. I began to laugh. And the harder I laughed, the softer his face became. And eventually he began laughing. And that night changed our relationship. Because I had been trying, right, wrong, win, lose, systemic energy to get to this kid who needed to figure life out. Stop making mistakes. What I needed to do was stop being systemic. Right, wrong, win, lose. Was I right about my idea? Probably. Had he done something that was inappropriate? Absolutely. But going into that space did nothing to solve that issue. I needed to see him as a human being, step into his world, find out what was going on, have him feel understood, have his walls come down, have his cooperation flood out, create a relationship, a connection. And now our relationship, after all these years, he's 30 years old, is just tender. Just tender. To hold this big, strapping kid and just weep in each other's arms. Happy to see each other and sad to have to leave. Just love this kid. Just examine your life this week and see if there's anybody in your life who gets this piece of you. Does anybody get it? Is there a co-worker? coworker that gets it? Is there a relative that gets it? Is there a companion or children that get it? Just catch yourself in the middle of it sometime this week and step back and just start laughing. See what kind of response you get. Why are you laughing? As I said to him, I am being just crazy. This is foolish. What do I think I'm going to accomplish by doing this? I must be driving you crazy. See if you can find a person that gets this piece of us. That's one. Number two, set a schedule to do something this week you haven't wanted to do, but the success of your business is dependent on it getting done. Everybody got that? Something you haven't wanted to do, but the success of your business is dependent on it. Does everybody just pick one of those out right now? Just think about what is it that you know you'll want to do to succeed, but you've been resisting it. You've been putting it off. You sit in the chair and you ponder about how great you're going to do it tomorrow night. When tomorrow night comes, it's still today. So we put off the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow. We've been putting off. What is that thing? What is it? You'll know. You'll know because you won't want to look at it. You won't want to face it. But step back from it and get this perspective of agape, this heightened level of awareness, and look at it and say, what is this? What is it? Just write it down right now if you can. You know what it is. What is it? Then schedule the time when you're actually going to do it. Become conscious of your heartbeat and probably your blood pressure as you get closer to the moment. Hear the dialogue you have with yourself when you get there and how it wants to delay it, just far enough that it's still safe, you can feel good about it. It wants you to come up with 100 other things you could do that are important. Just listen to these thoughts and how they are destroying your life and your potential for success. Hear them. Step back from them. Don't own them. Don't be them. Step back from them. Go, wow, that noise. Oh, my goodness. And then do it. Just do it. It's an email that needs to be sent, a letter that needs to be written, a phone call that needs to be made. Do it. Just do it. And then become very conscious of how you feel when you are done. And ask yourself, if I step back and took this control every day for the next 6 months, what would be different in my life? Because the truth is, success is dependent on that. It's dependent. Well, that's it. Those are your two homework assignments. Scroll 6 to read. Those are your two homework assignments. Hear these thought processes to see how they are causing all the challenges in your life. And if you want to have fun, you haven't read it in a while. I shared this with you a couple weeks ago. Go to Mental Creation. It's on page 130. House of Horrors, and just have some fun reading those two or three pages about the attic, the noise in the attic, and everything that's swirling around. It's particularly the section where he tells everything to stop, and it does. But there's that kind of a haunting voice that you think that's all it's going to take? Yeah, we've been in charge for a long time. And the level of commitment that's made in that story to maintain control of that attic. It's time for this. Now, Bud, we started this call, you and I talked this week, a little homework assignment. Is there anything that you could share with us tonight? We talked a lot about this area when you and I talked. Is there anything you'd like to share tonight that could serve everyone?
Well, my homework was to find five people that I could get into their lives and help. And it came at a bad time because we are at the family farm for the weekend, and there aren't five people. But I did find one on Friday, I think. And it was amazing. I just, asked what was going on, and I was told what was going on, and I had people who I could refer the person to who could help. And it was cool.
One for one is not bad. Congratulations. I told Bud I gave him permission not to work his network marketing business this week. His mission was to just connect with people, step into their world, listen to them, take down their walls, and see if he could serve them. And I know several of you on the phone call are in that kind of a business. And it really is the secret to the business. Because when you stop trying to sell it, that's when you find out why they want to buy it. So congratulations, Bud. Take on that challenge and report to us next Tuesday night how that turned out. Because you'll have a chance, I'm sure, over the next few days to meet a few more people. Thank you so much for taking that on.
Yeah.
Anyone else this evening that we can serve?
Hey, Dave, this is Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Let me just add something to what Bud would never admit to. Some time ago, Bud and I are in the same coaching group. Some time ago, Bud offered to help me. And over the past several months, capping off, actually last week, Bud's been very good in his profession to help me through some things. And he did exactly what you just indicated. He took the opportunity when it was offered and offered to help me, and has spent a huge amount of time and effort. Last week we had a phone call, and in a very short period of time, he had mapped out plan A and plan B. And for me, that was huge because it was the ambiguity that I was struggling with. What do I do? What's the plan? How do I move forward? Where do I go? And it was Bud who put clarity into that and gave me this incredible sense of, clarity and confidence in moving forward with these plans. And so I wanted to just point that out, that it wasn't just one that Bud had last week, it was two. And the other, he may not have even been aware of, but it was phenomenal, and I appreciate it. I just wanted to mention that.
Scott, thank you. And a big thank you
thank
to
you,
Bud.
Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fantastic.
Doesn't that warm your soul? That's awesome. Anybody else has been bumping up against these thought processes? This resistance to structure and authority and needing to be right. And anybody else bumping into these?
Yeah.
Well, if everybody's ready.
Dave, this is Susie.
Hi, Susie.
Hi. Oh, I was just saying I bump into these all the time. These thought processes. And I feel like I need to go back and reread both your books over and over and over again before I can really get it in me to change me. But it is a process. And I'm just grateful for these calls and your input week after week after week.
Well, thank you. I think one of my favorite moments was when Catherine asked about change. We talked about those pivotal moments. Susie, mm-hmm. this week what we want to do is create some of those pivotal moments where you're aware in the moment that you're at choice. And your coach can't make the decision for you, and the book's not going to make the decision for you, and a CD or a DVD is not going to make the decision for you. That decision is solely up to you in that moment. And when you decide, you choose to make the good decision, the healthy decision, that is so empowering because you're finally taking control of your life. You, control of your thoughts, control of your life. You're making the decision. And you make it once, then you make it twice, then you make it three times, four times, five times. And we start to feel that enthusiasm that rises and the desire to meet every fear we once knew at sunrise, and we are happier than we ever imagined possible in this world of strife and sorrow. But it comes down to that pivotal moment, and that's the homework assignment. Get yourself in that pivotal moment and step back from it and say, okay, there is no one who's going to make this decision for me but me. Which one am I going to make today? Now, I promise you we won't always make the right one. Is that correct, Susie?
Correct.
I don't always make the right decision. But the more often that I do, the more joy I experience. So if we want to have joy, we want to create success, then we become more aware in that pivotal moment, and then we say, okay, I've learned this. I know what to do. I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. And you make it, and you go do something different. And, oh, become so aware at the end of that how you feel about yourself. Because when you're in that pivotal moment, Susie, and you choose to make the decision, you are choosing to be your true self. That's really you. That's why it feels so wonderful when you've done it. Because you got to meet you. You got to spend time with your natural genius and gifts and everything we talk ourselves out of when we don't do this. So have some fun in those pivotal moments this week, all of us.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I look forward to this.
Okay. This is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This is where the rubber meets the road. We want to be coming back every week to get better and better at making those decisions, not still reluctantly choosing not to, or by default choosing not to. We don't want to keep coming back hoping that coming back makes the decision for us, because it won't make the decision. It just helps wake us up so that in that moment we can choose more wisely. And, oh, it's joyful. Okay. Anyone else tonight?
Hi, Dave. This is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
One thing that I seem to be having blocks about is I have been in, like, just a state of confusion, and I am sure that that is part of my psyche's way of keeping things from moving forward. Like, I, you know, it's like the creative side is not coming through. The right way to go is not coming through. I'm confused. I can't get the momentum built up. I can't get excited about anything because I just don't know which way to turn. So, and I'm sure that's all part of this.
Oh, it is. You're courageous to address this topic tonight. May I be really bold?
Sure.
We all choose confusion at one time or another. See, what confusion gives us is an excuse not to take action. Because we get to say, I don't know. And if we can buy into that story, then we don't have to take action. Really, all this is fear about taking the action. confusion is the way we manifest fear. Can it be that simple, Dave? I say yes, because we want to have the answer before we take the action. And it actually works the other way around. There are times when we get inspired ideas and we act on them. It ignites our passion and we take action. No question, that's beautiful when we're mentally rehearsing. But there are times when we're stuck like this and the only solution is to take action. I spent 2.5 hours with a friend this afternoon just before this call on this very topic. Oh my goodness, right at the end of the rope, not tied on the end, hanging on for dear life. Waiting for clarity to take action. And all the confusion did was giving her excuse to keep delaying, and the longer she delayed, the greater her risk became. And I shared with her, and we can turn to Og Mandino for some clarity in this area. I think we talked about this one when we were talking about physical creation. This is in Scroll 9, I Will Act Now. When he talks about being like the firefly, I remember the lesson of the firefly who gives off its light, light being a metaphor for inspiration, only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. I will become as a firefly, and even in the day, my glow, my inspiration, will be seen in spite of the sun. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings. Those are the people who are waiting, dependent on charity of a flower for life. Those are the ones that are waiting. I'll be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. Anytime you feel confusion, it doesn't matter what you do. Just pick one thing and do it. And part of the homework assignment is to pick something you've been putting off. Anything. If you want to pick the most painful or challenging of them, it'll be the most powerful. But if I've been putting off doing laundry, then I jump in and do the laundry. If I've been putting off cleaning the garage, I clean the garage. If I'm putting off phone calls, I pick up the phone and I start dialing and talking to people, stepping into their world and listening. There is a power in the universe, Diana. I just know there is. And that power wants so much to bless us. And it can't drive a parked car. And that's what confusion does for us. It puts us in park. So if you can this week, it's courageous. It takes a lot of courage when that confusion's overwhelming us and we're just overwhelmed by it all. Just to pick one thing and go do it. It may not be the only thing that needs to be done, but it'll open up the door to the next and then the next. And all of a sudden we find ourselves engaged. And our mind starts to become clear and ideas start to flow. The promises to everyone. The ideas don't come when we're in confusion until we take action. You okay with that, Diana?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I figured I needed to do anyway, so I have been moving in that direction.
Yeah, you know.
Even if it's not the right thing to do, it's just what I want to do at the moment.
So everybody got that? It might not be the right thing to do because we're into right and wrong. When we're in confusion. And it's not about right or wrong. It's about doing, because doing opens up the door to inspiration. It's just getting into the room of action. It's not the action that we're doing, it's the fact we're in action. So let us just go into action. That brings us into a room of inspiration. That starts opening up possibilities. The clouds, if you will, start to part and we can start to see more clearly just by stepping into that room called action. Again, it's not as important what we're doing that we are, in fact, finally doing. And I know, Diana, that it's not all or nothing for you, that you know. And confusion comes and goes. I get confusion. thanks for being courageous and taking us there tonight.
Thank you.
I'm kind of in a no-nonsense mood, aren't I? I want so badly for each one of you to realize your dreams. To have this experience we're having together have you function differently in each one of those pivotal moments so you can start to feel what it's like. Because once we feel it, we're more likely to do it. Once we start to feel our enthusiasm rise and our desire to meet our fear that we once knew at sunrise, when that starts to happen, it makes it easier and easier and easier to do. So that's where Og takes this particular discussion. The very next line after that discussion in scroll number one, it's a very important line. Because after he says that we'll be happier than we ever believed possible in this world of strife and sorrow, he says, eventually, I will find myself reacting to all situations which confront me, as I was commanded in the scrolls to react. And soon these actions and reactions will become easier to perform, for any act with practice becomes easy. Thus a new and good habit is born, for when an act becomes easy through constant repetition, it becomes a pleasure to perform. And if it is a pleasure to perform, it is man's nature to perform it often. When I perform it often, it becomes a habit, and I become its slave. And since it's a good habit, this is my will. So the pattern all starts with the action. And the more action that we take, the more we start to feel this sense of happiness, this pleasure. And it makes it easier and easier and easier to do. And pretty soon we have a new habit. Wow. And the brain prunes off the bad one. And we literally are born anew. And our birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all. It's been great being with everyone tonight. Let us just get into this granular this week and take on this homework assignment. And please come prepared next week just to share a thing or two that has happened because you've done this. And then we're going to go into joy in the journey. And we'll take this one on again. Well, thanks, everyone. Is there any final comments or thoughts from anyone before we wrap up tonight?
Dave, this is
sorry, go ahead.
It was the perfect subject for what's happening to me right now. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And thank you for saying that. Because I've just been following my heart for the last 50 minutes, hoping we were on target. So thank you. Okay, everyone, we'll come off of mute and say goodnight, if you would, please.
Hi, Dave.
Goodnight, everyone. Dave. Scott, we'll talk to you at 8 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning.
Goodnight, everyone. Bye-bye.